This is message 10 of the Conference of a Church in Bangkok, October 2013. Verses are Psalm 133, John chapter 17, verses 11, 21 through 23, and Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, and verse 13. Amen. This is the last day. This is the last day. And it's also the shortest two psalms. But it's also the last two most important messages. God's arrangement is really wonderful. The Song of Ascents begins from Psalm 120 to Psalm 133 and 134. Only God has such wisdom to arrange the Psalms in this way. He did not arrange for Psalm 133 to be in front. Why not? Because if it were put in front, you still would not have been able to practice it. If you were to turn it around, and Psalm 120 would have the content of Psalm 133, it doesn't work. Because Psalm 133 says, "Behold, behold, what are you going to behold? You may hear it, but you cannot see it. This oneness is visible. And if you quarrel and fight, that's also visible. And yet oneness is also visible. It's not just that you talk about it and you hear about it. You know, brothers and sisters, it's very likely that no Christian group talks about the oneness more than we do. Brother Zhang, don't you agree? We have so many teachings concerning the oneness. And we also have the so-called ground of oneness. We've got to stand on the ground of oneness. And then we also have the teachings concerning the oneness. All of that. But for so many years, we can say, behold, look at what? Look at the fighting. Oh, behold, the brethren are fighting with one another and are being divided. How pleasant it is. Is that how it is? How shameful. If you don't talk so much about the oneness, it wouldn't be as shameful. There are more quarrels than others. Tell me, isn't that shameful? Isn't that shameful? That is the reason why God placed Psalm 133 at the very end. Because you have to go from the first level to the second level to the third. And then you also have to go to the fourth level. And then you also have to come to the fifth level in Psalm 132. And it's only then that you can climb up all the way to see this. It's truly so. Because this oneness is not such that you just teach about it and then there will be the oneness. Do not forget that in Psalm 120, in the beginning, if we people are not saved and transformed, our natural man is wild. Don't you believe that? We're wild. Besides, we're dark. There's a lot of darkness there. And this darkness is expressed through the lips. There's deceit, and there is also lying, and you can scold people, and you can do all kinds of things through your lips. And there is a pride, full of the self, full of a fallen condition. Tell me, can such people be in oneness? Can it be? Even though one may give you the best sermons. You understood? Have you understood? The Chinese will say, do you understand? Have you understood? Do you understand? You understood, right? You understood it, and yet you're still fighting. Don't you understand the teachings? Do you? Everyone understands. Who doesn't? Besides, you understand it too much. You're all doctors. You're all doctors. Tell me, weren't those scribes and Pharisees and the elders not doctors? They were experts in the law. Wouldn't they understand? But they were full of darkness. We are just the same. You don't have the growth in life, and you're still living in your natural self. Although you may have understood, but still you fight and quarrel just the same. That is why today we all need to understand. It's not a matter of understanding or not, and it's not a matter of teachings. Psalm 133 is not an encouragement. It's not encouraging us to be one. It's for us to see that in the end, wow, here's such a glorious condition that appears because of the growth in life. And the Holy Spirit's work of transformation is quite well. And the lying lips are gone, right? And the old man gone to sleep. The proud spirit and the arrogant heart is gone. They're all gone. Then there can be oneness. Otherwise, in the end, the one who can speak the best is the one who is the most not one, useless. Thank and praise the Lord. We have to keep ascending. We have to keep going upward. and keep changing. Life is living, alive. We speak about life, but we don't have the growth. Today is not an age of teachings, especially in this last days. It's not that if you have the knowledge, that's good enough. What the Lord wants again is a real thing. There's reality in life. It's living. And it could be expressed. It should be expressed. You have to live it out. Just like our Lord Jesus, when he came to this earth, he came to express, to manifest the living God. He did not come to just give teachings. For teachings, the devil is not afraid of your teachings. You can beat him in your speech. But if you could be able to live out this glorious life, and you could swallow this death and overcome this flesh and overcome the temptations, and you can become a sanctified, a holy person, a righteous person, and you can live the humanity of Christ out today. Not our fallen humanity. In this way, Zion can be built up. Today is not the age of doctrines and teachings. Oftentimes I say, what else can I say? You know it all. Do I have to repeat it? Don't you understand the Bible? How many times have you heard Psalm 133? How many times have you read it? I've already spoken so much, I have nothing more to say. And what else can I say? Just live it out. You have to live it out. We have to shed our tears and weep before the Lord. Lord, we've been reading Psalm 133 for 40 years, but yet we still cannot be one. Wouldn't you weep? That is why oftentimes I feel that it's too shameful. And we have to repent before the Lord. We really are no good. The problem is, up until today, we still think that we can make it, and we even boast that we have the highest ministry. We're hopeless. But you have to know that in Psalm 133, that's the end result of the growth in life. It's a consummation, the result of our having growth and matured in life and become a full-grown man in Christ. It is describing the glorious end result. We have to go before the Lord then. So let me ask you, who can bring you to reach this level? A certain great apostle, or a little apostle, or a medium apostle? Who has better teachings? Let's have a few more conferences to talk about the oneness. Brother Lin, how much of the teachings on oneness have you heard? You can't even, they're countless, right? A few hundred times, right? Have you not heard it hundreds of times? But did you see it? You've heard it hundreds of times. Brother Fu Rong, how many years have you heard this? How many years? It should have been 40 some years, right? Yes? Okay, you've been listening to this for 40 years, right? But did you see the real thing? What did you see? You saw the fighting, the quarreling. No? Did you? Yes. Then what should we do? Why don't we become smarter and go ask the Lord, Lord, what should we do? Who can help us? It's no wonder from Psalm 120 to Psalm 133, it's still the Creator of heaven and earth that can help us. Who can help you? Can you help me? Who can change me? Who can change my flesh? My flesh that loves to fight. And once I open up my mouth, then I start quarreling. That's why our tongue is like a sharp sword. Don't the Chinese say that when it's talking about people who say, oh, this person's mouth is really sharp. What should we do? We still have not changed. How can we be in oneness? Who can save us? And who can help us? Who can change us? There's only one. If you do not turn to Him, you have no way. You have to tell the Lord, Lord, change me, save me, save my person. Besides, it has to come out of the depth of your heart. If you truly see your condition, then you would cry out from the depths of your heart, save me. Otherwise, it's very difficult for you and I to change. I've seen through it today. Teachings cannot change people. There's no way to change. We need the Lord's mercy. It's no wonder that the psalmist said, I'll wait upon thee. I'll wait upon thee until you have mercy on me and save me and transform my person. He is our only salvation. No one else can help you. We could have some fellowship, but the fellowship cannot help you either. Do not think that, oh, if I rely on a more spiritual person, then that person can help me. No. Why? Why do you not go to the Almighty God, who can do all things, and let Him save you. God gave us a Savior. Is a certain person your Savior? Who is your Savior? Is De Hua your Savior? Is a Savior Lei? His name is Lei De Hua. He is not Savior Lei. Right? A brother De Hua. If you change your name to this, to be Savior, that would be terrible. We only have one Savior, and only He can really save you. Otherwise, who can save you? The Lord said already, you search the scriptures, and yet you will not come to me. You've heard and listened to so many messages, and yet you would not come to, go to Him to be saved. It doesn't work this way. Brothers and sisters, wake up. We all have to wake up. The old man has to go to sleep, and the new man has to wake up. Do not turn it around. The new man is sleeping and the old man is very much alive. Seek the Lord. Pursue the Lord in a good way. May the Lord really have mercy on us. Now, do not forget, when we come to this final level. You see here that David is a consecrated person. It's not because people encourage you to consecrate yourself. Man's encouragement is useless. But it's because you see the will of God. And the Lord has worked within you. When you come up to the fifth level, automatically you will be a consecrated person. You would swear a vow to the Lord. You say, Lord, you're coming soon. There's not much time left. Perhaps 10 or 15 years. I hope it will be that soon. Now, within these 10, 15 years, what are you going to do? You're going to try your best to make money or what? If you just try your best to make a lot of money, you are a fool. You are foolish. Ignorant. There's no change in you. Today is a time to repent. If man does not repent, it doesn't work. You not only have to repent, and you have to change. These two words are both in the Chinese language. In the word repent, you have to turn and change. Did the Lord not tell all the churches in the book of Revelation to repent? Don't think that only the unbelievers need to repent. Much more do the believers need to repent. The more you grow in life, all the more you need to repent. You have to repent even more. because you come to realize your inward condition, and you'll be so shocked to see that there's still so much in there. Recently, I heard a story, a real story in the U.S. A so-called apostle told a responsible brother, "You are a responsible person. You don't need to repent. You do not need to apologize." When I heard it, I almost was going to pass out. Sorry. Did this teaching come from above or from below? You are a responsible brother and you do not need to repent. You don't need to apologize to people. This is dreadful. It's such a concept. Can Zion and the church be built with such a concept in mind? If people tell you in this way, what would you do? You would not only not say amen, but you should rebuke the person who teaches such a thing. Satan, leave me. Not only should you not be saying amen, Lord Jesus. That is why it's not easy. Besides, that brother did not just graduate yesterday. That's why, don't listen to any more teachings. We all need to live well before the Lord and allow the Lord to enlighten you. Don't bother with the other people, how they are. You know, today I don't care about how the others are, because I can't even take care of myself. Do I still have to control Toby? Toby, you go take care of yourself. I won't be controlling you. I need to take care of myself. So in these last days, you need to make a vow to the Lord. And tell the Lord, "Lord, in the remaining of my time, I give all to you for your building, for your will, because I want to enter into the kingdom of the heavens. I want to become a first fruit. I want to follow the Lamb all the way up to Mount Zion in the heavens. So Lord, I make a vow to you. Today we don't use the word vow, but we say we consecrate ourselves. Whether you make a vow or you say you consecrate yourself, it doesn't matter. You have to tell the Lord. I want to give you my all. For the sake of the brothers and sisters, for the church, for the fulfillment of your will, for your glory. Thank the Lord. But this cannot be forced. It cannot be forced. It all depends on the degree of your growth in life. You turn yourself over to the Lord. I believe that here among us, many of you have been in the church for many years. I believe you all understand. Such a consecration can touch the will of God. That is why in Psalm 132, there's David's consecration. He vowed to the Lord. And there's also God's response. God also vowed to David. Thank the Lord. We all need such an experience. Do not be like this. Oh, I consecrate myself. It's just words. Today you consecrate yourself, tomorrow you take it back again. If this is the case, don't think that God doesn't know. Certainly He does. If my consecration is just so-so, God will not react. But if a consecration is truly out of your heart, you really want to do it, you vow to the Lord, God knows it. If you have such a consecration, God will respond. And He will speak to you. Our God is living. Thank the Lord. At this stage, the church needs such a group of brothers and sisters who not only know that, oh, we are for the church today, and they're not only clear concerning the truth, nor are they just here. But you put your entire life into it. I don't dare to say that every one of us has to be like this. But if you do learn lessons before the Lord and you have a growth in life, your heart corresponds to God's heart. Because the Lord had said, David is a man after God's heart. He found a person who was after his own heart. If there are such brothers and sisters in Bangkok, in Thailand, in all the churches here, thank the Lord. Then God can accomplish His work here in Thailand. Only such people are willing to lay down the self. People cannot offend you so easily. It wouldn't be easy for people to offend you. Try, go offend a dead person. Go scold him. You go to his grave and start scolding him. The louder, the better. You stand before his grave. You've got quite a loud voice. Try, go scold him. and see if he will react. Would he jump out of his grave? Now, are we like what is said in the book of Colossians? That you, we are dead? Are we dead? Are you dead? At least you're asleep. When you're asleep, if people were to scold you, you don't care either. If there's such a condition, praise the Lord. There's future for the church. There's salvation. And there's a hope of glory. And the condition of Psalm 133 would appear. It would then appear. There's humility. Like children. Paul said, with all those kind of messy things, you're like children. You do not understand anything. But spiritually, you need to be a full-grown man concerning the flesh and the fleshly things. You should be like a child, childlike. If people scold you, oh, you don't understand. Do not be so smart to understand everything. The person says, oh, you're no good. I don't understand that. What are you talking about? Are you speaking German or are you speaking Greek? I don't understand. Do not be so smart. I don't understand. If people want to spread some rumors, I don't understand. You don't understand the fleshly language. And you only understand the heavenly language, the spiritual language. Thank the Lord. Now let's come take a look. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. How good and how pleasant oneness is. Do not look down on this. Do not think that if you can give a good testimony, then it's how good and how pleasant it is. Do not think a good message is good and pleasant. Oh, behold, the brothers can give good messages. How good and pleasant it is. If it's not so good and pleasant, why do you appreciate them so much? What are you appreciating? Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to be so strong. No. Sometimes it's not good and pleasant to be too strong. Do not think that those bodybuilders are very good and pleasant. Sometimes they really look ugly. It's abnormal. They are strong to the extent that it's abnormal. Everyone is afraid of you because you're too strong. They don't dare to come near to you. But oneness, unity, in God's eyes, He would appreciate this. Because the fact that you can be in unity means that you have been transformed and you have matured and you are full of Christ. It's because only if Christ is in you that you can be in oneness. If you're in the flesh, how can there be harmony and oneness? Your strength may not be Christ. You're jumping around. You're so strong. It's a hallelujah, amen. And sometimes the more you say hallelujah and amen, the more I'm scared because it's abnormal. When your hallelujah comes out, it's just sound. But there's no living water, and there's no life. And there's none of the heavenly taste. But if you can be a person who is in harmony, it says, I love the oneness. I love peace. That, like as stated previously in the Psalms. And then there's real peace and unity. In the end, in the beginning, there's the battle, but in the end, there is the unity. It's how good and pleasant it is. Because in this condition of oneness, you express God. In John 17, such a oneness is you in Christ. And Christ is in you. You and Christ are in the Father. And that Abba Father has also gotten into you. You and the Triune God are together. That is a true oneness. If you are together with the Abba Father and you keep fighting, could it be? That is why in John 17, the Lord prayed for His disciples. It says, Father, do you keep them, keep through your name so that they will not be attacked by Satan and they won't have an accident when they go drive, that they won't get sick. That there will no be thefts among them? Is that the Father's keeping? Did you pray, Lord, keep me? Keep you from what? Keep you that you'll be so peaceful and nothing happens to you, right? Oh, you want to go take a trip? Oh, Lord, keep me. That I go safely and I'll come back safely. Nothing would happen to me. That's very important. You pray for such kind of a keeping. But in the Lord's Prayer, it says, Holy Father, keep them. That they may be one. In order to be one, don't you need Him to keep you? Today, you say yes, but previously, you never said yes. Did you ever pray, Lord, keep me from quarreling? Who prayed like this? Lord, keep me. keep me so that I can be one with all the saints. Did you pray like this? No. But you pray, Lord, keep me from having an accident. And the Lord added some words. Oh, Father, as we are. It's too sweet. As we are. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. That's why you need to understand. This dwelling together in unity, being built up together. How good and how pleasant it is. Do you have such a taste in your church life? Do you have such a sweet aroma in your church life? Or do you have a stinking odor? This oneness is something that the Father enjoys. That is why he said, it is like the precious oil. Have you fought before? You argue with your wife at home and the precious oil flowed down? Well, that happened. Well, you quarreled to the extent that oil would come down? If you quarrel, there'll be no oil. The precious oil would only flow down if there is a oneness. Truly so. We all say, Lord, give me life. Oh, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me and fill me again. And once you start quarreling, all the oil runs out. The oil will flee away. Until you become like a donut that you had this morning at your hotel. It sounds like a joke. We all need to laugh. Otherwise, you need to cry. Here is the promise that God gave us. And he shows us in this oneness. It's a oil of the Holy Spirit that flows down. The more the anointment, the more the ointment flows down on you, the more there's oneness. The more there's the love for the brothers and sisters. If you have no ointment, then there's no way. This ointment can keep us. This is all the virtues, the humanity, and the love of Christ can all flow into us. Besides, it flowed down from Aaron's head. That is why in the book of Ephesians, the situation, the condition of the building is that first of all you have to grow up into the head, which is Christ, and out from Christ, who is the head, what comes out, then all the members would be fitly joined together. Today, if we're all joined to the head, would you fight? You will be in oneness. That is why this oil flows down from Aaron's head. And it flows down to his beard. And it keeps flowing down. Really thank and praise the Lord. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the reality of the anointing oil. We have to say, Lord, I'm willing to obey you. You are our head. You are the head. And you're the head over all things. For the building of the church, you need the presence of the head. God's kingdom needs this king among us. We all need to obey him and submit to our Lord Jesus to obey him. Actually, in this kingdom, we have to obey our head, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank the Lord. It's just running down onto the edge of his garments. Each and every brother and sister needs to experience this oil. Whether you're young or old, whether you're a responsible one or you're not a responsible one. In the church, within Zion, you have part of this oil. Do not think that, oh, a certain brother, oh, he is the only one that is anointed. If we're talking about the Anointed One, we're talking about the head, who is Jesus Christ. But we are all his companions. We all can enjoy his anointing oil. Besides, we are all anointed because his oil flowed down to us. Each and every one of us has it. That is why 1 John 2:27 tells us, we have all received from him. We have all received the anointing. Thank the Lord. And then it goes on to say, it is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. Amen. Hermon. Mount Hermon is in the north. If this is the kingdom of Israel. Here on the board. At the northernmost part is Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is here, up in the north. And Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is down here, close to the Dead Sea. such a distance. How can the dew of Hermon come down all the way to here? There's no way, no explanation for that. That is why Hermon represents our Lord in the heavens. And Zion is the church here today. If we dwell together in oneness, in unity, the dew of Hermon would descend from the heavens to down here. God's blessing, not just His grace, but it's God's blessing. All the spiritual blessings will flow down to the church. If there is no oneness, you may speak so much about it and you may have so much knowledge, but there is no blessings of the Lord. Don't think that if there are a lot of people, great in numbers, that's a blessing. Or don't think that if there's so much money, that's a blessing. In the Bible, numbers, the number of people is not a blessing, nor is money a blessing. Our blessing today is heavenly, spiritual, and it's in Jesus Christ. The heavenly dew would flow down and descend upon the church where there is the unity. Besides, the greatest blessing is that eternal life. Otherwise, you may speak about life and life and life, and in the end, there is death. I've seen this. You also have seen this. Life this, life that, everything is life. But actually, it's death. Where is the life? With all the fighting. If you don't listen to me, I'll just cut you off. And they're doing things loosely. And they also lie. And they also deceive others. And there's unrighteousness. They do not fear God. Where is the life? Life is not like that. That is why the true condition of oneness would bring down the heavenly and spiritual blessings of God. And besides the most wonderful and most glorious blessing is that eternal life, God's life. Thank and praise the Lord. The time is up. Amen. Amen.